Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hi, we'll start the show here in just a second, but here's a political fun fact for you. The 2016 Bernie Sanders campaign started at the dinner table of radio legend Bill Press. Bill has been one of the leading progressive voices in the country, so I'm glad he's still out there on the left, stronger than ever. Right now, he's using that progressive voice in the Bill Press podcast. The Bill Press pod is up twice a week, an in-depth interview with a major newsmaker on Tuesday, plus his lively end-of-the-week roundtable with three of Washington's top political reporters, digging deep on the latest craziness from the GOP, the massive voter suppression bills in the states, and the Democrats' fight to keep control of Congress in 2022. So I encourage you to join me in subscribing to the Bill Press pod. It's a must listen for all progressives. To sign up, just go to wherever you get your podcasts, search for the Bill Press pod, click on subscribe, and then tell your friends to do the same. Take it from me, I follow the Bill Press pod, and you should too. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
And my guest today is presidential nominee and JFK lookalike, Governor Jack Stanton.
Hi, Izzy.
Hi, Jack. Jack, when we were talking before, you were telling me that your mama liked Vegas. And who was her favorite act there? Is it Wayne Newton?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. When your mother plays blackjack, where does she stand, Pat? Is it 16?
Well, she is a bit of a gambler, but so sometimes she'll go up to 17.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Governor, but I'm told that we have Senator Harris on the phone. Hello. This is indeed an honor.
Thank you.
We were just talking with Governor Stanton about how his mother loves Las Vegas. I was wondering, Senator, does your mother have a favorite vacation spot?
My mother's dead.
Oh.
Bob Seska!
Bob! Bob! Bob!
The Bob Seska Show.
I guess that means I should start. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, April 13, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 84 of the Biden-Harris administration, 573 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. Oh, let's bring him in. It's Buzz.
When you say Buzz Burbank,
you've said it all.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant to grab the microphone and picked up a megaphone instead.
my
bad. You can see how a thing like that can happen.
I know.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Hi, Bob. He's Bob, of course. I'm Buzz. One of us works up a show. The other one just shows up. By the way, Bob, thank you for the money for, you know, tuition and school. Thank you.
Yeah. Kimberly and I had tuition, school, and school the other day. It was great. I'm happy to report. It was wonderful.
Do you like etymology? Do you enjoy a study of bugs, insects, creepy, crawly things?
Not really, no.
Well, it's in the news now, as it turns out.
Good.
Yeah, scientists say millions and millions of 17-year cicadas will soon be digging their way out of the ground.
Fun.
And if you're not familiar, cicadas can be very, very loud. So many of them are expected to run as Republicans.
Assholes. They're all assholes. All those cicadas, assholes, all of them.
The good news is corporate America is now distancing itself from the Republican Party, and, mm-hmm. and Republicans are retaliating by boycotting those companies.
Good.
Donald Trump Jr., however, will keep buying Coke.
Yes, all the Coke.
Do you follow the cutting-edge fashion news, Bob?
All the time. Yeah. Just don't get between me and the fashion news because I'm going to run you right over.
I don't know if you've seen this, but in cutting-edge fashion news, short shorts for men are making a comeback.
Wow.
And a number of celebrities are wearing them now.
Uh-huh.
My eyes are up here, Bob.
But I will say, your upper thighs are exquisite.
Unrelated, I think. Yeah. It's alligator mating season in Florida. Almost writes itself, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Floridians have been warned to be on the alert because in recent years, gators have eaten about 4 people there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to be exact, 3.5. The Bob Seska
Show. Rocky Mountain Mike.
Oh, that deep state has its case now. And it keeps it out of sight. Oh, that Matt Gaetz, he's in some heat now. And his fans are pearly white. You know that deep state with its case, babe. And the evidence, it's piled so high. And that Venmo, it brought Matt heat, babe. He thought it'd never leave a trace behind. Thrown under the bus now, who on the Sunday morning shows claims he's canceled, just oozing lies. Did he pay for a tug job down by the river? We don't know. PayPal, just to write it on down. And now Matt Gaetz spends just like old Epstein. Could it be that, boy, his ass is grass? Look out for that state's evidence, and he's losing ground. His support fins, they're on the right, babe. Now that Matt
Yeah.
Look out, Matt's going fitter. Down.
There he is. All right. The great Rocky Mountain Mike. Outstanding. You know, I went and searched for some vaccines while that song was playing. I think I made some progress.
Well, that's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky_Mountain_Mike on Instagram. Go and follow him right now. Go do it. Here's what happened. He sent Joel Greenberg $900 in May of 2018, then, using the same Venmo app, sent 3 young women money totaling $900.
Sure, you want to keep records.
And then he said in the subject line, hit up, and then he used the nickname for one of the girls. So you may have heard Matt Gaetz's speech the other day in which he thanked Jim Jordan, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Donald Trump for their support. But guess who else is supporting Matt Gaetz now? Glenn effing Greenwald. Greg, Glenn Greenwald, never afraid of the disruption, never afraid of being a troll, is now defending Matt Gaetz, by the way. He tweeted
why not?
He tweeted that if you have a problem with sex with girls under the age of 18, then take it up with all those states where the age of consent is 16 or 17. No. That's not how it works. First of all, Florida, it's 18. And that's where Matt Gaetz lives. That's where Joel Greenberg lives. And by the way, I keep referring to Joel Greenberg as Jeff Greenberg. So please punch me the next time I do that. Thank you.
That's as bad as that poor fellow named Matt Gaetz who's been attacked on social media because people think he's Matt Gaetz.
Right. So if your name happens to be Jeff Greenberg, I'm really, really sorry. I mean to say Joel Greenberg.
Oh, God. Well, it's not easy keeping up.
Yeah, well, you know, part of the problem is, Buzz, is I'm just intensely distracted, as I was saying a second ago, looking for a goddamn vaccine. I mean, I mean, I hate to complain about something because we're really doing well with the vaccines overall. I mean,
we are, and you're right to complain. I'm in Florida, of all places, and my local friends have had their vaccines already.
Yeah.
In varying age groups. And so the fact that you're in or near the nation's capital shocks me that you haven't had yours yet.
I only became eligible last Monday, and that was eligibility for the mass vaccination sites. Did you say mass vaccination sites? Hey, everybody, it's the mass vaccination sites here on the show.
It's the drinking.
And you know what? Before we continue on, we should bring in this music. Yeah, because it's really, it's like...
The hunt.
It really, really is. So a few people were suggesting maybe we try the mass vaccination site in Hagerstown, Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And in Hagerstown, they were apparently giving the Johnson & Johnson vaccine to walk-ins.
I see.
The problem with that is driving to Hagerstown, which is like, you know, an hour away. And that's if you don't have traffic. And so I wasn't going to roll the dice and try driving an hour away only to be turned away, possibly.
Right, right.
And so the next option, because yesterday, as of Monday, the 12th, Maryland opened it up, opened up all the vaccination sites for everyone 16 years and above. So that means me, that means we can just go anywhere and get a vaccine. The problem is you just can't go anywhere and get a vaccine because it requires this appointment scheduling process, which is really the seriously annoying part of all of it. For example, I went to the Walgreens, or you know what? I always mix up Walgreens and Wegmans. I think it was the Wegmans website. You know, I'm pretty sure it was the Wegmans website.
It's a grocery chain that has the drugstore, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And so I went through the process of searching vaccinefinder.org. It sent me to the Wegmans website, where the Wegmans website needed me to register first on the website to become a member of the website.
Right.
And you go in and you do the whole setup process with your name and your address and your, you know, your gender and your date of birth and the whole business and your email. And then you go and you have to confirm the email and on and on and on, only to find out that there were no appointments available anyway. And so it was, it was just such a pain in the ass. And it was, you know, it shouldn't be this challenging.
And that surprises me. Being as close as you are to Washington, D.C., I'm just surprised that, and you're in Maryland. I don't get it. I don't know why the vaccine rollout has been so uneven. I mean, here in Florida, even Matt Gaetz's girlfriends qualify for the vaccine now. So, and but he's 16 and older. So some of his girlfriends qualifying.
Yeah. It's really, really frustrating because you want to support the process and you want to make sure that everyone knows, well, look, this is going better than expected because there are millions and millions of people who have been vaccinated. And in fact, I think it was on, what were the Saturday numbers? 4.6 million people were vaccinated on Saturday, which is a single day record.
Yes,
so
yes.
People are getting them, and I can see all over Facebook. I mean, you want to talk about FOMO, fear of missing out. I'm like neck deep in vaccine FOMO right now, which is I'm seeing everyone. Everyone I know is getting vaccinated. It's all over. I'm seeing the pictures. I'm seeing the Band-Aids. I'm seeing the vaccine passports that people are getting, the little cards with their names stickers on them. Yeah, yeah. And I want to be part of that. It's just, it's extraordinarily difficult to do it. And I guess the only option really is to wait it out. But
yeah,
it seems like it should be easier than this. It seems like the appointment process is the part of the equation that is stymieing to me, because I'd much rather be able to just, you know, like you do with a flu shot. A flu season comes around, you walk into the CVS, you say, I'd like a flu shot. They give you a flu shot.
It may ultimately be like that. They may be simultaneous. You may go in every October or whenever you go and get your flu shot and your COVID shot, you're set for the winter.
And right now, that's the way it should be with COVID. There shouldn't be this degree of hassle, because you know what? I always think about it this way. I am really savvy when it comes to, well, I shouldn't say really savvy. I'm at least savvy enough to use the internet. I've been doing it since, 1997? I first got a job working on the internet and first had my first email address and everything like that. Right. And so I've been doing this for a long, long time, coming up on I guess that would be 25 years, more or less.
Wow.
But I can't imagine people who are just now learning to use the internet, people who maybe don't have the time to sit
or don't have it at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what a frustrating thing. I mean, I feel like a bit like Veruca Salt. I want it now, Daddy. I want the vaccine now. And you just can't get through the scheduling process. It's everywhere, yeah. Every well, place, every drugstore is booked up. I cannot find a single opening. Yeah,
you're trying. It's coming. They're out there. There's no shortage of vaccine. It should be underscored. President Biden said this morning that the latest hold on Johnson & Johnson vaccines will not affect distribution, nor will it affect the number of shots available.
Yeah.
This isn't the only places this will cause a glitch in places that we're giving out the J&J vaccines. But I don't think it's going to. There's certainly enough Pfizer and Moderna to go around, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And I had to reiterate something that Kimberly posted on social media, that just because 7 people out of 2 million or whatever have had blood clots doesn't mean, it doesn't mean that the vaccine is bad necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah.
We still have to get to the bottom of that, of course, and caution is being exercised. But, Rachel Maddow got the Johnson & Johnson shot. So we'll just keep an eye on her and see how she does. But I think it's going to be okay. And you shouldn't let that dissuade you, from continuing to pursue a shot, because there's plenty of Pfizer and Moderna out there to go around, even without the J&J.
Oh, yeah. Well, every time I run into a roadblock, it increases my determination like tenfold. There's no way I'm giving up at this point. I mean, I'm in it now, and I'm plowing forward. I'm the juggernaut, and I'm going to make it to that vaccination. I was really hoping that I could get the Johnson & Johnson vaccine merely because, well, it's once and done, and I don't have to go back. I don't have to go back 2 weeks later and get another one and work that into the schedule, too. But apparently, once you get that first one, then the second one is automatically scheduled. So you don't have to go through all of the online crapola, right?
There is still a push to stop holding the second shots for people and to use those to get more people vaccinated. And the argument is we're underestimating the efficacy of a single shot from either Pfizer or Moderna. Maybe they were onto something. I opposed this idea at first because it went against scientific advice at the time, but there is a growing scientific movement for just getting the damn things out there, and the second shots will be along.
Yeah.
Rather than setting them aside, let's vax more people.
Well, I mean, if there's 6 people who end up with reports of blood clots out of 6.8 million recipients,
that's what it is.
Yeah. That's pretty good odds. I mean, I know the FDA and the CDC are being cautious, and that's fine. And I certainly support that. It's better to be cautious than to have a serious, serious public health issue on their hands.
Right.
But at the same time, man, so immensely frustrating. In fact, you and I were talking yesterday about this. Doing this scheduling of the vaccine, it reminds me of the 70s, 80s, and 90s when you'd have to call Ticketmaster to get concert tickets. Like, as soon as they went on sale. So your favorite band, they're coming to town, and the tickets go on sale 10 a.m. on this day. You pick up the phone at 10 a.m. to call Ticketmaster, and it's that process of redialing busy signal, until maybe you finally get through. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing now. It's constantly having to refresh, try again.
As you said to me in an email, it's like trying to be caller 10 in a radio station contest.
That's right.
It's a little like that.
Yeah. And the secret, by the way, if you're calling to request a song, if you want to call a radio station to request a song and the DJ says to you, yeah, we'll get that right on for you. Yeah, you know what that means? That means he's lying. The DJ has no intention of playing that song unless it's already on the playlist. That's the
DJ has no choice. He or she will play whatever the computer has scheduled or whatever is next on the programmer's playlist.
Yeah.
They really have no choice. Now, the odds are, if you ask for a popular song, it probably will be along. As one favorite, one-time favorite DJ put it, all the same songs, just in a different order. That's the secret to our success.
Right. Well, it's the same process with getting these vaccines scheduled. You feel like once you finally get through that you can bend spoons mentally. You feel superhuman once you finally manage to get, and it shouldn't be that way. I mean, you're calling up Ticketmaster to get concert tickets and going through that process of redialing and trying, that's fine. It's ultimately inconsequential. But we're talking about vaccines here, and then after, an entire year, Buzz, of isolating in place, place.
Yes.
And wanting, God, I'm so desperate to get the vaccine and get back out again. But at the same time, I know, and I've received lots and lots of tips, and I thank everybody for their helpful hints as to how to do this. But I also don't want to waste a bunch of time, you know, on an ongoing treasure hunt where I feel like it's Mission Impossible or it's Indiana Jones or something like that, where I'm constantly driving around trying to find, I guess,
good.
There's a bit of principle to it, Buzz. It's the principle. It should be easier. And that's what I keep thinking of. Like, as soon as I go in for even more effort than I'm putting in now, I go, no. It should be easier. I'm going to wait.
Good morning, Bob. Your mission, should you decide to accept it, is to find and get a vaccine.
That's right. I only wish it were possible. And, you know, look, I don't claim to understand the logistics of the process, but so far it just seems overly complicated and prohibitive for something that's this urgent. You know what I mean?
I do. And yeah. You're right. I mean, and I worry and I feel badly for you. And I understand certainly your eagerness to get it. I all I can tell you is, and I sound like the DJ, we'll get that right on for you.
no patience.
It's coming. It's coming up on the playlist. You're up next.
I just hope the process gets a little bit easier as we go on. Yeah. And, you know, at least based on my search this morning before the show, it looked like there were a few more places where at least the vaccines were in stock. I mean, I was confronting a lot of results yesterday where they didn't even have the vaccine in stock, at least according to vaccinefinder.org. But all of it pales in comparison to the frustrations of the Black community right now.
Right.
And I want to talk about the Daunte Wright shooting in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, because this is, once again, a horrifying example of the culture of shooting first and asking questions later. Right. Whether that's
especially
shooting,
yeah, and perhaps exclusively with minorities.
It doesn't matter whether the shooting is with a pistol or with a taser. There just seems to be this culture of militants and overreacting.
Fear.
Yeah.
It's fear.
And you know, you got a routine traffic stop. This guy had, you know, air fresheners. Daunte Wright had air fresheners hanging off of his rearview mirror. And it turned into a traffic violation. So they pulled him over. They found out that he had a warrant for a misdemeanor on something else. And so they go through this process where it seems like, and we've seen this time and time again, where the cops are on a hair trigger, where fear. Maybe it starts out okay, but then it always ends up escalating beyond. And the question, well, I have numerous questions when it comes to this, but let's take a hypothetical here. Let's take the officer at her word that she really intended to taser Daunte Wright. As we know by now, the word is that she meant to taser him, and instead she pulled out her firearm and shot him in the chest. The question remains, why? I mean, Wright was being cuffed. He jumped back into his car. He tried to flee the scene. But if you're worried about him driving away, why not block the car? I mean, it seems like the car is the means of conveyance here, not his legs. He's not running. He's just getting back in the car. So you disable the car. I don't know why this isn't in the training and the regulations and the procedures for these police departments. It seems like the training and regulations say that if you're in a situation that you feel as if your life is in danger, then you can use deadly force. But that is so ultimately subjective. And in this case,
and was certainly not the case in this case.
Yeah. There are other things that could have been done here. And then ultimately, what would have been the harm if Daunte Wright had escaped, just been allowed to drive away? Whatever happened to cops going, damn, we lost him? It seems lost him needs to become part of the vernacular again, doesn't it?
And then showing up at his house with a warrant or whatever.
Exactly. You've got his plates. You got his license plate. You got all of his information in the clearly because they were able to determine that he had an outstanding warrant for something else.
Right.
So you know who he is. Yeah, exactly. You know who he is and where he lives. It was the same with victims like, who was that guy? Walter Scott in 2015. Remember the Walter Scott thing, Buzz?
Mm-hmm.
Where he's pulled over for a broken taillight. And I guess there was something.
Wink, wink.
He was pulled over because he was black.
Exactly.
And there something happened, and he got out of the car and ran. And then the cop chased after him, and we all saw the video. It's on video of Walter Scott being shot in the back as he's fleeing. And one of the most dramatic and horrible things I've ever seen in my life.
A frustrated cop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. A frustrated cop who, by the way, tried to frame him after the fact by claiming that Walter Scott tried to take his taser. So he gets shot in the back, murdered right then and there. What would have been the harm if Walter Scott had gotten away? What danger? Oh my God. There's a guy with a broken taillight at large. What's going to happen? Is he going to get in another car with a broken taillight and try to drive around again? Oh, no. We got to stop him. Think of the children. No, this is like, no.
This is not serving and protecting. This is just not serving and protecting.
Yeah.
They're not doing their job in that regard. And you're right to ask about training and about the culture. I do think... There is a change in the wind inside police departments. Mm-hmm. I think the culture is starting to change, but it's still a battle even from within. And clearly there are some big, big problems here, both in terms of screening personnel and making sure they're properly trained and checking up on their well-being.
The officer who fired the single shot that killed Dante Wright, she was apparently on the force for a good long time.
A veteran, 20 years,
something like that.
This was shocking to me. The woman's a veteran of the force. She's I don't know what happened here, but obviously, and I had a number of people have pointed out on social media that police have trouble figuring out whether you're holding a gun. They often think it's a phone if you're black, if you're black, a phone can look like a gun to a cop.
Yep.
They can't tell their own guns either. That's problematic. How'd that happen? So, they need to look into that as well, if in fact that's what happened.
And she made the mistake that Bob Denver makes at the beginning of the Far Out Space Nuts by pressing launch, not lunch. You know, that the opening theme of the Far Out Space Nuts from the Sid and Marty Krofft show, you know.
No, I'm not familiar. But,
I'm surprised because that was oh my God, in the 70s. It was a blunder that you make if you're kind of an idiot. You pull out the wrong thing. You pull out the taser.
Yeah, so that raises a question. How did she make it through 26 years without ever having made that kind of blunder before? Why now? What happened? And obviously they'll look into that, but we have to address the overall problem of the police culture and training, screening, all of that.
And I've heard from other firearm experts, certainly military experts, that when it comes to firearms, there are no accidents. There's only negligence. And again, we're talking about a guy who was, first of all, partially handcuffed. I noticed in the video that he was able to pull one of his hands out of one of the cuffs. So he wasn't fully secured.
They only got one on him,
Yeah. And so he gets back in the car. And don't they have, like, those things that you throw out into the road?
Well,
they're like six-sided thumbtacks or something like that that disable the tires. You know what I mean?
Those have their own. See, and that's one thing that's difficult or more difficult for an officer is determining what to use and when, and each situation is very different. Those two can be hazardous to innocent bystanders, to innocent citizens, to the homes in the neighborhood, if that's where it occurs, because that car can very likely careen out of control. As it turns out, this 26-year veteran did was equally bad.
Yeah.
She shot the man in the chest. He drove away and crashed and died. This also endangered innocent citizens. Mm-hmm. So to shoot a moving motorist in the chest, shoot a motorist in the chest before they start moving or as they start moving, is endangering innocent citizens. And so she wasn't just accidentally killing a man for no reason. She was endangering other people as well.
Yep.
And so, and likewise with the spikes, the tire spikes, police have to consider, okay, what's the consequence of that going to be? Or as you said, maybe just live to catch him another day.
Exactly.
This was not a big catch, as you point out. Executing whatever the police tried to execute here was in no way either serving nor protecting the community.
That's right. The choice is twofold. You basically have two options here. You either create an untenable situation where you're drawing your sidearm, whether that's a taser, whether that's pepper spray. In the case of Second Lieutenant Karen Nazario, the situation in Virginia that we're going to talk about here in just a second, too. It's either you pull that sidearm or you let the suspect just get away and you catch him, as you said, live to catch him another day. And again, what is the harm in that? What is the harm of apprehending him someplace else? What is the harm of issuing yet a second warrant? I mean, he's 20 years old. What is he going to do?
The officer's job, all officers' jobs are, and they know this, is to de-escalate the situation first. If that fails, then increasing amounts of authority and ultimately perhaps force need to be applied. Yeah. But bearing in mind that none of these so-called offenses, from air fresheners to saying there's no tag when there is a tag to whatever, I mean, none of those are about serving and protecting the people, and none of them endanger the safety of the community.
Yeah. I mean, I don't claim to be an expert when it comes to police procedure. I know just about as much as anyone else who follows the news.
I watch all the cop shows. So.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah. Then you probably have seen, maybe going back 15, 20 years, when there's a suspect and the cops are chasing them down, sometimes the suspect just outruns them and gets away. And it's like, damn, we lost them. And again, why can't, oh, damn, we lost him, become a thing again? I mean, well, I'm not saying let them go. I'm just saying if you can't catch him, it doesn't help the situation to kill the suspect.
Or better still, outsmart the bad guys, negotiate, you know, whatever you have to do, but de-escalate the situation, not escalate it. As you transition at some point into the discussion of the Virginia officer, you can see his demeanor and his behavior and his acts were all toward escalating the situation, not de-escalating it. The officer made things worse, and we've seen that time and time again in these videos.
Well, we're going to talk about Second Lieutenant Karen Nazario's situation here in Virginia because he's retaliating now. He's suing the cops, and that's it's going to be an interesting case to observe there, because I don't think the cops were brought up on any charges or anything along those lines. This is just a matter of patriotism and supporting the troops. And these guys decided, hey, you know, as a second lieutenant in the army, let's pepper spray him because we're scared.
Right.
Like always. And plus, we have a shooting in Knoxville I want to talk about, too. Once again, the culture of gun violence in this country is out of control. And Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee is partly responsible for that. But in the meantime, let's talk about our Patreon page. I want to thank all of our new subscribers. We just surpassed 20 new members on our Patreon page in the last few days. And now I'm going to be making at least one behind-the-scenes video for all of our patrons. So but all the fun is happening right there at BobSeskaShow.com. So don't miss out. Yeah.
Bob, if you want, if people want, you'll be happy to put school and tuition in the memo line in their payments.
That's right. Thank you very much. Do that, please. And if you sign up, not only are you going to get our existing bonus content, but you're also going to get video features no one else will get to see. Again, you can sign up for $1 per month, $5 per month, $10 per month, or $15 per month. $5 a month is going to get you our post-mortem shows recorded after the end credits on our Tuesday and Thursday podcasts. For $10 per month, you get the post-mortem shows plus the subscription-only after party with me and Kimberly Johnson. And for $15 per month, you get all of that, plus we take out all the commercials for you. That's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show. I raise my head and see your face. Then lightning strikes and we can't run. Your breath is short and my heart begins to race. Could this be it? Is this the one? I've waited so long to feel this alive. I dream that tonight you will be by my side. There's just one love to win, and I know that this is it. Yeah, there's just one love, it's true, and I know it's me and you. One love.
Oh yeah, the bitter one elegance. Love to win, one love to win is the name of the song, with the numeral one and the numeral two in the title there. Have you been? It's from Hiding in the Spotlight, thebitterelegance.com. Love these guys, yeah.
Is it just me, or does this song ooze sex?
Yes, it does. It does.
Okay, all right. Then it's not just me.
Yeah.
I think it's our palpable sexuality that makes this show popular.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Sexuality, refrigerator sex, all the rest of it. You know, tuition, school, and school. There were actually three different payments, right? Three different subject lines. So it was
tuition, school, school.
My favorite new euphemism for sex is tuition, school, school. I'm going to get a lot of mileage out of that one. Okay, getting back into serious things here. We talked about the shooting of Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, and obviously the protests continuing. And I mean, we're getting to the point now where it is really like the mass shootings, where you can kind of do the Mad Libs fill in the blanks. You know, it's the same thing every time. And of course, I'm not at all blaming the black community for reacting. I'm blaming the cops for not doing the right thing. And the procedures and the process, the rules and the training, this is all shit that needs to be reformed. And I think the Biden administration is looking at a way to pass national legislation on police reform to try to roll back some of this stuff. Because it seems like, I don't know, Buzz, I don't know if you've noticed if it's gotten worse since 9/11, but it seems like the militarization of the police that occurred after 9/11.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Bush saw to that. W saw to that by arming the police with excess military gear.
Right.
And the police, you know, police out in Hayesville, Kansas, or wherever they got these, you know, tanks and protective gear and all of that.
Yeah.
They were delighted because this was fun. This was exciting stuff, and they could dress up and play soldiers sometimes even when it isn't necessary.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a Bush production. Some communities have gotten rid of that stuff since, but not nearly enough of them. And there is still that military mentality.
Yep.
Look, you know, we need to address the problem, not, you know, the throwing tear gas is not the answer. If a crowd forms outside your city's police department, you might have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
It might be you.
Yeah.
It could be you, not them, that's the source of the trouble. And we all need to look inward and see to what degree it's us.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think you may have read in my book, Buzz, I wrote an entire chapter about this town in Ohio called Zanesville. And this was back in 2008. So the war on terror was really fresh in our minds at that point in time. And post 9/11. All of these small towns like Zanesville, Ohio, were getting all kinds of grants from the federal government to augment their preparedness for a possible terrorist attack. So all these local police forces were getting all kinds of military supplies and gear and hardware, and they were really, and once you get that stuff, it's either use or lose. So you gotta use it.
What, you want Al Qaeda to invade Springfield, Missouri? Is that what you want, Bob?
Yeah, that's right.
Because
and the great irony of the Zanesville story is they got all this equipment from the federal government to prevent terrorism. The great irony is that the river that Zanesville is anchored by is just horribly polluted. Just the worst pollution. I mean, to the point where you can't go in the water there because it's so badly polluted. And so you miss out on the actual crisis that's happening in Zanesville because you're focused on the nearly non-existent, at least that point in time in Zanesville, the non-existent threat of terrorism.
Right.
You know, talk about a lapse in priorities. I mean, that seems to be endemic of the entire American experience now.
And really, that's what your book was about. And I know that you get a little uncomfortable when I bring it up sometimes, but you shouldn't, because that theme, in fact, I think you should update it and re-release it, because that theme of fear was used by Republicans when you wrote that book, and it's been used consistently by them ever since. And you have a lot more examples now to add of Republicans using fear over fact to manipulate voters.
Well, and I'm seeing the fear manifesting itself in many different ways. And one of the ways it's manifesting itself is in all of these conspiracy theories and some of the things that are driving the right-wing extremism in this country. The fear of, you know, the fear of liberalism, the fear of cancel culture, the fear of, you know, trans people using the same bathroom. Oh, God, heaven forbid. And there are all these fears, the fear of things that don't even exist, like the deep state and the comet ping pong, right. You know, sex dungeons and so on. The drinking of baby blood that we all have to get militant about and get your firearms and lock and load. Well, you know, that's what drives these situations where we've seen a huge uptick. In fact, there was a whole piece in the Washington Post about the rise of right-wing extremism 2020.
Yes.
The year 2020 being the worst year so far for far-right extremism.
Who was president?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, part of it, and I'm by no stretch blaming Barack Obama, but the thing is, a lot of the extremism that's risen over the last 4 or 5 years has been in reaction to, you can go back 12 years, in reaction to the existence of a black president.
Well, Bob, you can have your black guys on TV, but you start electing them president. That's where a lot of America's going to have to draw the line. I think that's really what it got down to. It's like, okay, well, black people are on TV now, and, you know, I guess it's the way it's going to be. But when one got elected president, the racist in much of America came out, and they've been out ever since. And Donald Trump made them feel much more comfortable about being who they are.
And we don't know the motives of this kid in Knoxville, with this shooting that occurred yesterday, where apparently what happened was this kid had a firearm with him, and he ended up in a standoff against cops, and he was in the boys' room, in the bathroom, and that's where he shot one of the cops in the hip, and then the cop returned fire and shot and killed the kid. But a few days before that, last Thursday, Governor Bill Lee bragged on Twitter about passing an open carry law. In fact, he called it, talk about a new euphemism for this gun culture, he called it constitutional carry. That's what they're using now. It's no longer open carry. It's called constitutional carry.
And the Constitution says nothing about carry.
Unless you're forming a well-regulated militia. You know, this is the gun culture writ large. This is, you know, the NRA. In fact, Bill Lee, governor of Tennessee, bragged partly about his cooperation with the NRA, tagged the NRA in the tweet.
Yes, he did.
There's a serious issue where we're being taught in this country. And again, you talk about Mad Libs, fill in the blanks. In this country, we have been taught, or many of us have been taught, that the only way to solve problems is at the point of a gun. And
I was raised in that culture where most of the shows on television were Westerns, and that's how things were settled.
Yeah.
A lot of us were raised on that. And since then, of course, there's been, you know, everything Rambo and everything else. A lot of people pick up the message from media that, that violence is the solution to a problem. And, you know, I hope we can fix that as well.
Yeah.
But you're right. It is very much the culture of this country. I've told the story before of meeting some British tourists on an airport transit bus. And I asked them what their impressions were of America, what they expected to see. And they said, cowboys. We, to this day, are still thought of in that way because of our erections for guns.
Yeah. And that's really what it is. It's become one of these things where it's a symbol of masculinity. It's a symbol of virility. And you know what? No one's gonna rob my house. You come into my house and attack my kids, I'm gonna shoot you in the face.
Nobody wants your stuff, dude.
Well, there's that, and there's also the fact that those kind of situations are few and far between, and oftentimes they can almost immediately go sideways, where if you have a firearm for self-protection in your house, oftentimes that firearm is used against you, either by, you know, a family member in the heat of some sort of domestic dispute, or by your kids accidentally shooting themselves, or the home invader getting their hands on your firearm, which often happens too.
And now, most of the guns in those kinds of shootings, domestic suicides, children, most of those cases, those were guns kept for protection.
That's right.
How's that working out for you, America? Mm-hmm.
How's
that working out?
Ultimately, it's a hobby. I mean, owning firearms is like it tickles that collector bug. I certainly have that. I'm a collector. Right. I like to collect all the nerd comic book shit. But I know people who have the same obsession with firearms, with weapons that destroy lives. That's the intention. They either wound or kill living beings. That is the purpose of a firearm.
Right.
Yeah. And so.
Exactly. Yeah. And they don't take up as much room as a train set, unfortunately. So.
That's right. That is exactly right. And so as a consequence, you know, you say, well, it's time to, you know, maybe confiscate some assault rifles here and make sure, you know, look, these are these things. There's no intrinsic value to these things. You can protect your home with a handgun or something. You don't need a military style firearm. You don't need a military style rifle to protect, you know, your Nintendo and your widescreen TV. Sorry, this is not, it's completely unnecessary. And meantime, you know, if you have one, at one point, you're going to want to use it. It's what's the point of it if you don't use it at some point? So oftentimes, it generates an itchy trigger finger among its owners, especially its more radical owners.
And among police officers who have them.
And that takes us to what happened in Virginia with these police officers who pepper sprayed, you know, a second lieutenant in the United States Army. Who, you know,
black and Latino.
Yeah. Was responsible for the unforgivable charge of driving while black and Latino, as you said. And so this incident has drawn widespread criticism all across the board. Nazario is heard saying, "I'm honestly afraid to get out," to which the police officer responds, "Yeah, you should be." Yeah. Way to support the troops. Yellow ribbons threat all around for everybody. An incident report by police officer Joe Gutierrez said Nazario did not comply to commands, and police said Nazario was driving a car with tinted windows and no rear license plate. A shock horror!
He was the driver who had the temporary license tag in his window because it was a brand new vehicle.
That's right. Tinted windows. You know, I was once pulled over for tinted windows. Hello, I wasn't pepper sprayed. Take one guess why.
You're white?
I'm a white guy.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Tinted windows, holy shit. Another case where if he had just gotten away, and if we're talking about a second lieutenant in the Army, he wasn't going to just drive, he wasn't going to flee the scene. But say that he had. Holy shit. Oh my God. Put out an all points APB. There's a guy driving around with tinted windows. We got to stop him. What'll happen to the children?
He's going to go, he's gone mad. He'll tint your windows next.
This is nonsense. So he is suing the officers.
Yes.
Which is also good news. I think he's suing them for $1 million, I think, is the lawsuit amount.
As he should. I'm surprised that criminal charges haven't yet been pressed. Perhaps they still could be. Certainly the victim of that attack is, in addition to having the right to sue, I think has the right to file a criminal complaint against this now former officer.
Yeah, exactly. The Virginia cop who pepper sprayed Nazario has been fired.
Right.
So that's happened as well. And you know, honestly, anyone who discharges a firearm thinking that it's actually their taser, you know, this officer Potter in Brooklyn Center, she should be fired. I mean, she was put on administrative leave. She should be fired.
I'm afraid so, because she's proven she can't be trusted out there. And it's very sad to see a 26-year career end that way, but that's how it ended, and she's the one who pulled the trigger, and whether it was an accident or whatever, she can't be on the force anymore. She just can't.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, look, if you kill someone because they were driving around with air fresheners around their rearview mirror, probably that's a career.
Is that illegal? Is that even illegal? I've never heard of any ordinance about air freshening. Now, when it comes to tinted windows, each state, I think each jurisdiction can and does often have its own rules about how tinted they can be.
Yeah.
There is a percentage that's allowed and a percentage that's considered too far, and which windows you can darkly tint. Having tinted windows in and of itself is not illegal. Certainly I have them on my car in the Florida sun, you bet.
Yeah.
You know, air fresheners, really? Somebody please enlighten me, because I've never heard of an air freshener ordinance.
I think the reasoning is that it blocks part of the windshield. The view through the windshield becomes too obstructive.
It's kind of a stretch. But I see. It depends on which way the Christmas tree turns. If it's turned at the right angle, you can see everything just fine.
It's an air freshener, and it didn't warrant a dead guy.
No,
it didn't.
No, warrant- it's not a. None of these. None of, no matter what you. No matter how many things you can list. No matter what you list. None of these are capital offenses.
Yeah.
The police have no right to execute suspects. Period.
Right. Right. Well, in all of our bafflement here over police procedures and things like that, I want to turn now to. Actually, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to turn to a story that I have labeled here called "What the Fuck, Japan." We're gonna talk about that right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place. One bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
The Bob Seska Show. Indie Music Rewind. April 2020.
Passion. Was it for real? Aching and hoping. And then we kneel. Ask me, where have I been? Choked in a stranglehold where love meets with sin.
Oh, the great Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets. One of my faves on the show, featuring Jen Farley, who's the wife of the great Mike Farley. This is a song called Disguise. We're rewinding all the way back to April 2020, repeating all the songs we played 1 year ago. This is from their debut album, Gin Chocolate and Bottle Rockets. GinChocolateAndBottleRockets.com is the name of the website, so please go and support them. Thank you very much for doing that.
See, if you were locked in your home in April 2020, you could have been listening to this.
That's exactly right, you shirkers.
And you still can.
Well, on a more of a serious note here, I just want to say a very brief safe home to our friend Michael Latham. Yes. Some of you might know him from Facebook. God. And, you know, he was a very loyal supporter and listener of the show.
Yes, he was.
And more than that, though, Michael Latham, who passed away the other day, suddenly, it was quite a surprise. I had no idea that he was even sick. Yeah, yeah. I mean, on top of being a listener and a Patreon supporter, Michael was instrumental in helping me build my Patreon page in the first place. He had years of experience in the tech world. He was a giant in the world of video games in the 1980s and especially into the 1990s. I mean, many of your favorite video games were developed and produced by Michael Latham. Virtua Fighter is one of the ones that I remember very distinctly as being extraordinarily popular, and he was responsible for that. But he was really, he kind of helped me shepherd this Patreon page that we've started.
I didn't know that. That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I knew about his background, but I didn't know he specifically had helped you with your Patreon page, and that just makes me love him and miss him more.
Yeah, yeah. Just in a voluntary way, he would just send me tips. And in fact, the $1 level on our Patreon page, if you're a $1 subscriber, you can thank Michael Latham. And I do, because he was the one who said, hey, why not try a $1 level? That'll give people an entryway to support the show, even if they don't have a lot of money. And a dollar isn't that much per month to spend to support an independent podcast. And so he came up with that idea. And he said, besides, some people will sign up for $1 and then maybe up their subscription to $5 or $10.
And some people have.
As the case may be. Yeah, and that's actually happened. And so beyond that, he was just a hell of a sweet guy. Immensely helpful, immensely supportive, always around. It was Michael Latham, mid-March of 2020, who sent me a DM and said, you know, Bob, it's probably time that you should start quarantining. Stop going to the gym, isolate in place. This virus is for real. And Kimberly and I decided at that point, yep, time to start taking precautions.
I'll tell you, Michael and I had a lot of exchanges on Twitter and I believe also Facebook. And we didn't always agree on things, but I always knew of his good heart. And I always felt that he was always on the right side of things, even if we might disagree over some minor aspect of it. And he was very loving and supportive in that way. And, you know, I was just shocked to hear that this wonderful person had suddenly vanished. And, you know, so, yeah, our condolences to his friends and family. And it means and we've talked about this before on the show. What we do now, podcasting, even more so than radio, is the most intimate medium. And we are connected to so many of you. And, yeah, we see, and maybe we don't always chime in, but we kind of know what's going on in your lives a lot of times because you share that with us, and we appreciate that, and it helps us feel like we know you.
Yeah.
And so to lose somebody like Michael is especially tough.
So thank you, Michael, for everything you did and
amen.
All of safe your support, home. And safe home to you. Okay. Yeah, it sucks. Okay, let's move on here. Talk about something that sucks. We all remember the Fukushima nuclear disaster as a result of that earthquake and the tsunami that occurred there that was so incredibly dramatic and shocking and terrifying. Well, now, several years later, Japan has decided to take all that radioactive water that they've been storing up, and they've decided to dump it into the ocean. This is their grand plan.
Oh, we call that the Florida approach.
Boom! Japan's government decided Tuesday to start releasing treated radioactive water from the wrecked Fukushima nuclear plant into the Pacific Ocean in 2 years. An option fiercely opposed by fishermen, residents, and Japan's neighbors, and also by the Earth in general.
There's no place to put this stuff. It will always come back and bite us in the ass.
Yeah. Remember those scary charts, those maps that were coming out during Fukushima where it was showing the flow of the water?
The spread of radioactivity, yes.
Look, I mean, first of all, the oceans are no longer pristine in the first place. It's not like we're this is the first thing that's been dumped into the ocean and it'll just disperse and not be a problem. It joins all the other crap in the water now. And the Pacific Ocean, big place, lots of water. That's kind of an understatement. But at the same time, Jesus, this is radiated water. The accumulating water has been stored in tanks at the Fukushima Daiichi plant since 2011, when the earthquake caused a nuclear disaster there. The plant storage capacity will be full late next year. So Prime Minister Suga said that the ocean release was the most realistic option and that disposing the water is unavoidable for the decommissioning of the Fukushima plant.
Unless they can build another container for it, it may be. As I said, I think in last week's show, radiation occurs naturally in our planet.
And
we're all exposed to a little bit of it. It's in the soil. It's in everything. It's in you, probably.
Yeah.
To some degree. What's dangerous is excess radiation.
Yeah.
And if there is an upside to this, it is the more water you dump any kind of pollutant into, the more diluted it will become and less potent it will become. The bad news is this builds up over time.
Yeah.
This will always come back and bite us in the ass. There's a map in the Tampa Bay Times this morning showing the spread of the chemical pollutants that have been that are now being released into Tampa Bay. Some of that will make its way out into the Gulf of Mexico, which is part of the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so all the oceans are planet's two-thirds covered with water.
Yeah.
And with the polar caps melting, we have more water every day.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean we have an unlimited supply. In fact, they're looking at drought and water shortages again in California this year. We've screwed up the planet, ladies and gentlemen. We have screwed up the planet, and it is urgent for journalists and elected officials to focus on that because while we're screwing around with all this other stuff, the planet's going away, or certainly is in threat of becoming an uninhabitable place.
Yeah, but we got to get really militant when it comes to those guys driving around with tinted windows. You know,
and what about Dr. Seuss? And Dr. Seuss. There's a still, right. That has still not been resolved, Bob. So.
God damn. Well, yeah, I mean, I think of the Gulf of Mexico. I think of the Deepwater Horizon disaster and all of the chemical dispersant that they threw in the water.
It adds up.
Yeah, it all adds up. And that's the thing. It's disaster after disaster after disaster that accumulates. It's not just the Fukushima nuclear disaster and the radiation they're going to be dumping into the Pacific Ocean. It's how does that magnify what's already in the water as far as being a disaster for the wildlife, especially. Certainly the entire ecosystem gets thrown off. It becomes untenable to actually for humans to go in the water. I mean, I become less inclined to go swimming in the ocean because of this.
And sea life that can't survive. The oceans, the warming of the planet is led by the oceans themselves. Mm-hmm. That's what's really heating up right now.
Yeah.
And that's forcing many species of sea life to move to cooler locations. And so, as on land, their habitats become smaller and smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. Soon there will be no place to run, no place to hide.
Yeah, yeah. It's really tragic, especially, you know, with the Pacific Ocean. I lived in Hawaii for 5 years. One of the greatest things that I've ever seen in my entire life was the natural splendor of the Pacific Ocean, the magnitude of it, the color, the experience of swimming in the Pacific Ocean in Hawaii, the crystal clear water where you can see straight down through, I mean, 20, 30 feet down to the very bottom as if it was right in front of your face.
And what has the Atlantic ever done for us? That Columbus? You got Columbus, you got the Titanic. I mean, no good comes of the Atlantic Ocean. It's the Pacific, that's however, right. I agree, it's beautiful.
That's right. The ocean debate is the same as the Marvel versus DC debate. I'm a Pacific Ocean guy. Well, you're an Atlantic Ocean guy. I don't trust you. You suck, Atlantic Ocean. Okay, well, lots more to talk about. What's that? Yeah?
I live on the Atlantic coast, but I do like the Pacific coast better, so I defer to you.
Don't you live on the Gulf Coast?
Well, yeah, technically, yeah. Okay. But I mean, as I said, it's part of the Atlantic.
Oh, it's all part of the same. Yeah, I get
it. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we're all but a gulf. We're just a gulf. we're a mere gulf.
You feel lesser than. You feel a little inadequate because it's just a mere gulf.
No, it's our gulf. Yeah, we're proud of it.
Good. It's a nice body of water, you know, except for the chemical dispersant.
What I'm clumsily trying to do here is get us off that horribly depressing note we ended on.
I know. You're trying really hard, and it's working. I'm glad to say. Thank you.
I hope so.
Well, here's some more good news. Senator Mazie Hirono is going to be on this year's show coming up on April 28th.
Yeah.
Our first member of the United States Senate to join the podcast for a conversation, 20 minutes or so. We're going to talk about her new book called Heart on Fire. No, it's called, I'm sorry, Heart of Fire. Her heart is not on fire. No, the name of the book is called Heart of Fire. We're going to talk about that. Certainly, we're going to talk about Hawaii. And, of course, Mazie Hirono is going to be one of the Pacific Ocean supporters. She's going to be with me, where she's on Team Pacific.
Listen, I conceded already.
We win. Ha ha. Ha ha. Okay, we're doing the Postmortem Show coming up next on our Patreon page. If you signed up, get your ass over there. $5 a month. And you can hear the Postmortem Show twice a week after the Tuesday show and after the Thursday show. When this music gets done playing, we keep on talking and we post it on our Patreon page for your enjoyment. So thank you again for subscribing and we'll see you over there, folks. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
Aloha.